the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." I'm going to preach there out of verse 19, the precious blood of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we're grateful to be in your house here today. Lord, we're grateful that you loved us and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And he shed his blood for us, Lord, that we can have eternal life, that we can have salvation through you. Lord, I do pray now that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you give me all of you, give me your words, and give me your clarity of thought here today, Lord, to do what only you can do, and that's to just speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, have your will and way, Lord. If there is somebody here or over the internet that's never been born again, Lord, I pray the day is the day they call on you to be saved. Lord, give us glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, all throughout history, men have fought and bled for various things. We fought and bled for gold and silver and for oil and wealth and land. And the list goes on and on. But throughout all history, nations have risen, nations have fallen, and countless people have died and given their lives for earthly treasures. There's a story during the World War II, how a small Allied unit was pinned down by enemy fire in a small European village. The soldiers were trapped in the rubble of a bombed-out building, and they were wounded, and they were bleeding, and they were dying, and there was no way of escape. They were surrounded. But suddenly, a lone medic was able to break through the gunfire. Crawling on his hands and his knees, he reached the men, and one by one he began dragging them out and dragging them to safety. But on that final trip back, a sniper's bullet struck him and killed him in the midst of the men he had helped to save. Now later on, when the survivors were asked about what they remembered about that day, hey, they didn't talk about their strength. They didn't talk about the battle plan or even the weapons that they had. What they talked about that day, as their eyes were filled with tears, and they said this, they said, "We'll never forget the man who shed his blood to save us." But that, my friend, is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He died for all people. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus did not just give his life for a good cause. He gave his life so that you and I could have life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed for a nation's freedom, but for your eternal salvation. And right here in our text today, Peter reminds us of that. He reminds us that we are not redeemed with silver and gold. He says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, we live in a world today, we live in the day when churches talk about prosperity. Hey, get all you can while you can. Hey, they talk about self-esteem. and they talk about positive thinking, and we hear sermons in various different churches about how to feel good for yourself, how to be happy in life. Well, I say, what about the blood? Whatever happened to the blood? Have we forgotten the blood? Somewhere along the way, we've forgotten to preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. We just need to get back to the blood, because listen to me, without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the blood, there's no gospel. Without the blood, there is no salvation. There is no eternal life without the blood. So today, I want to talk to you about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see is the person of the blood. The person of the blood. Look there at verse number 20. In verse 20, the Bible says there, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before God created the world, before He spoke the world into existence, God knew and He foreordained Jesus Christ to redeem all mankind by coming to this earth, taking on the flesh of a man, and going to the cross of Calvary and shedding His blood for the sin debt of all mankind. Jesus Christ coming to be the Savior of all mankind was not expected. It was not unexpected by God. God had planned it before the heaven and the earth were created. Before man had ever sinned, before Satan had ever tempted, and before sin had ever entered into the world, Jesus was the foreordained person of the blood. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, the Bible says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. The cross of Calvary was not an accident. God did not lose control to the devil. The devil did not win that day. No doubt the devil thought he did. No doubt when he heard Jesus cry, "It's finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up his ghost, no doubt the devil was like, "I've won, I've won." But let me tell you, the plan was foreordained by God. Before time ever began, before even the birth of Jesus Christ, before the life here, before the death here of Jesus Christ on this earth, everything was expected of God because He foreordained it to be like that. God planned it. God's plan of redemption is called the eternal purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was His plan. That was His eternal purpose for all of time. Right? We're bound on earth by time, but in heaven there is no time. And God planned for redemption through the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, not the church. The church is what we have here on earth. And Christ died for the church and He shed His blood for the church. But listen, no church can take you to heaven. There's no church that can take you to heaven. You cannot get to heaven by being baptized. The water cannot save you. The water in Macon is dirty. That water can't wash away sin. Hey, you can't get to heaven from good works. God's plan was Jesus Christ. All along it was His plan to produce a Savior that came from Jesus Christ, and that He would come into this world through the birth of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Hey, all you stiff-necked people, you want a sign? Here's your sign. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Jesus Christ, leaving heaven, coming to this earth, taking on the flesh of a man, 100% God, 100% man, tempted in all points like you and I. You need to get that. He was tempted the same way you and I are tempted, but yet He was without sin. He is without. Jesus Christ is God. He has no sin. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus Christ. That is the foreordained person of the blood. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, He God planned that He would come and die on that cross for you and for me, for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All my sin, all my wicked sin of 38 years of living a life of being lost and living a life of being in the world, 38 years of all of that sin compiled with all my other sin, He took that on Himself on that cross. Why? Because I couldn't get to heaven on my own righteousness. I needed His righteousness. And Jesus Christ purchased redemption for all mankind by His atoning death on the cross of Calvary. And He rose again after 3 days, and He ascended up into heaven where He sits right now. In Hebrews 10:12, the Bible says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Listen to me, no more sacrificing of the lambs. No more shedding of the lamb's blood. One sacrifice forever. Jesus Christ is it. Hey, the Catholics want to crucify Him over and over again by leaving Him hanging on the cross. It was one sacrifice. That is it. And He sat down on the right hand of God. That's the plan that was foreordained by God before sin even entered the world. Before Adam ever sinned in the garden, God already had a plan that would lead to the death of His only begotten Son. Now, isn't that love? Isn't that love? That is the love of God. But in the eyes of God, the work of salvation was already finished before creation ever happened. So that's more, furthermore, proof that you cannot do anything to earn your way into heaven. It just doesn't happen that way. The person of the blood is Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 4:3 says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, Jesus Christ, He's on that cross. He's about to die in John chapter 19 and verse 30. He's about to die. And Jesus said, "It is finished." You see the greatest cry ever? "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. It is finished. What is finished? The plan of redemption. Hey, Jesus Christ kept His, He kept the faith. He finished the plan of a Savior, the plan of redemption. It is now complete. It is now finished through the Savior in Jesus Christ. As far as God is concerned, Jesus Christ was already slain. He had already died before the world was ever formed. Revelation 13:8. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So therefore, we have the covenant of redemption, the covenant of salvation. In the Bible, it's called the blood of the everlasting covenant in Hebrews 13:20. The blood. You see, it's the precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. This cross was not plan B. It was God's eternal plan. And you say, why was that? Well, the Bible tells us there in our text there, He was manifest in these last times for you. It was for you. It was for you and I. Hey, yes, the world in the great sense of the things, He died for the whole world. Yes, but we make it personal to us, for you. That becomes personal. Listen, when Jesus hung on that cross, and before He said, "It is finished," He knew you. He knew your heart. He knew my heart. He knew my sin, and He knew my thoughts, and He knew all the wicked things that He did, that I would do. And you know what He still did? He still died for me. You get that? He still shed His blood for me, even though He knew He was manifest in these letters for you. He knew our wickedness, but yet He still chose to be the person of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, we're moving on here. Number two, I want you to see here the power. I want you to see here the power of the blood. There's power in the blood. Amen. Look there in verses 18 and 19 of our text. There in 1 Peter chapter 1, look there in verse 18 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "For as much as you know," that's a great saying there, "you know. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me tell you, there's power in the blood. How much blood? A drop of blood. All the blood. Jesus Christ's blood. All of it is power. Why? Because it's God's blood. It's not man's blood. It's God's blood. It has the power to redeem. It has the power to cleanse. It has the power to save. It has saved me at 38 years old from going to a place of hell that He never intended me to go there. There is power to set you free, my friend. There is power in the blood. He says here, you know. You see that? You know. That's a great saying. I just want to sit there and ponder that. You know, it's a great thing to know there's power in the blood. It's a great thing to know that there's salvation in the blood and that we can have the truth of salvation. It's a great thing to know. Let me show you. Turn over, hold your place here, but turn over to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, each Saturday and throughout the week or whatever, we talk with people and we'll go knock on some doors and we'll say, hey, do you know how to get to heaven? Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And people will say, well, I'm a hoping so. Well, I don't really know so, but I'm a hoping so. I'm a thinking so. Well, the Bible says you can know so. K-N-O-W, know so. And so these verses right here are powerful. Look here in 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Look here starting in verse number 11. The Bible says this, and this is the record. What is the record? The Bible. Hey, God gave us 66 books in the Bible. It's complete. It's full. It's right here intact in the King James Bible. This is the record right here. You're not going to find the record on Facebook or Snapchat or on Fox News. None of those ways are going to get you to heaven. The record is right here in the God's Word. We have faith in God's Word. The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And right there it is. And this life is in His Son. And so verse 12, He says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's 8 billion people in the world today, and each one of those are divided into one of two classes. You either have the Son and you have life, or you do not have the Son and you do not have life. So the question to everybody here today is, which group are you in? Do you have the Son? Do you have eternal life? Do you know? Because the Bible says you can know. And if you don't know, read verse 13. The Bible says this, listen, look. Read, underline. It says, these things have I written unto you. What things? Again, the Bible, the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. These things have I written unto you. And here's what you got to do. That believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you can know you have eternal life. K-N-O-W. You may know that you have eternal life. And He says it again, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, isn't that a glorious promise? Isn't that a glorious promise that the power of the blood brings about salvation and God wants us to know about it? If He didn't want us to know about it, all He had to do was not give us the Word. He could have kept us in the dark, but these things have I written unto you. Hey, He wants us to know eternal life. He wants us to know how to get to heaven. He wants us to know Him, and He wants us to know about being redeemed, about redemption. You know, that's the subject of our text there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 is redemption, to be redeemed. That word redeemed, listen to me, that word redeemed is one of the greatest words in the Bible. Amen. It's one of the greatest words in the Bible. And that word redeemed means, the word redeemed means to be set free on payment of a ransom. To be set free, to be bought with a price. It means to buy back by paying a price. Hey, listen to me. Jesus created you in creation. He created everything. He bought you in redemption. And He paid for you with the power of His own blood. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is the forgiveness of sins. Hey, you know the hymn writer Fanny Crosby? We sang many songs by her, but you know she was blind. She was blind. But she still wrote many songs. And one of the songs she sang is Redeemed. He wrote, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed. Redeemed. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about God blood here. We're not talking about man blood. Not my blood going to shed for your sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood flowing through His veins wasn't man blood. It was God's blood. He was virgin born. He had no sin. There was no sin trail in Him. He is without sin. But now you and I, we have sin in our... Ever since Adam sinned, all down the line, we've all sinned. But not Jesus. Hebrews 7:26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." You see, we all need to be redeemed. Jesus Christ, there is power in the blood. He is our Redeemer. But you and I need to be redeemed because we've all sinned. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin has separated us from a holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, God in heaven, and we can't get there on our own. We need to be redeemed. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You see, the only thing that God owes us is death. Death. And death isn't just dying and going to a grave and that's it. Death is a separation. The Bible always talks about death as separating from something. But when at death, our body is separated from our soul. Our body goes to the ground. But heaven or hell awaits the soul. Where is it going to go? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hey, listen. Before the foundation of the world was ever put into place, God planned to send His only begotten Son to die for you and I. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I ask you, how long is everlasting life? How long is eternal life? It's forever and ever. But Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay that sin debt that we couldn't pay. And He shed His precious blood on there. He rose again the third day. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You see, that's the gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection. That is the only message that saves. Listen to me. There's not a message for the Baptist and a separate message for the Catholics. There's one message. There's not a message for the Methodists and the Muslims. There is one message. There is only one way of salvation. There is only one way to get to heaven. And here at Gilead Baptist Church, we teach there's only one way because that's what the Bible teaches. One way, that's what Jesus teaches in John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That's it. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. There is no other way to get to heaven. Jesus doesn't say, "I'm one of many ways." He says, "I am the only way to get to heaven." Now, many churches today, they water that down. They water down the gospel message. They water down the blood, and they talk more about turning over a new leaf and finding purpose in your life. But they never mention the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of sin. And Hebrews 9:22 tells us that, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." Listen to me. If you take away the blood, you take away everything. You take away the gospel. Hey, if you take away the blood, you take away the hope of all sinners having forgiveness of sin. Hey, if you take away the blood, you take away forgiveness of sin. You take away eternal life. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." That's the only way. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Hey, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price. All we got to do is receive the gift. It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you received the free gift? Have you received the free gift of salvation? It was already paid for. All you got to do is receive it in John 1:12. There's a story here in the Bible that was very familiar to all of us here in Exodus chapter number 12. It talks about the Passover lamb and putting the blood on the doorpost and everything. And God said, hey, if you put the blood on the doorpost, if you kill that spotless lamb, that lamb without blemish, and you put the blood on the doorpost, when the death angel passes by, I will pass over you. Hey, the blood applied. It wasn't a fact of just killing the lamb. It wasn't a fact of just knowing about the order that God put into play. It was the fact that they had to obey God in everything, and they had to kill the lamb, and they had to apply the blood to the doorpost. Has the blood been applied to your life? Has the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, because you see, nothing has changed today. It's still the power of the blood that saves. I got to move on here. Number three, not only the power of the blood, but I want you to see the purification. The purification of the blood. Look here in verses 21 and 22. If you get back over in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look there at verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. The blood of Jesus purifies us. When we submit to God's Word, we get born again, we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives to change us. You see, in our natural state, we are impure before God. We are separated from God. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And the very best we can do is filthy rags in the sight of God. But only salvation can purify your soul. Only salvation, only through the blood of Jesus Christ can you be justified and made righteous. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and listen to this, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You understand, because of the blood, I'm already seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. I'm already there because of the purification of the blood. That's what salvation does. The salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ produces a changed person. I'm not the same person I was before. I'm a new creature. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the purification of the blood. You say, what does the blood do? Well, there's a long list of things, but let me give you a couple. The blood cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 7. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, that moment of salvation, you have forgiveness of all your sins. They're under the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all of our sins. And He's not going to bring them up to us anymore. As far as the east is from the west, it cleanses us from all sin, but it also redeems us from the curse of the law. Think about that. It redeems us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see, He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He redeemed us. He set us free. And you know what else it does? The blood purifies us. It gives us victory over the devil. It gives us victory. Hey, you can have victory. Are you here today and you're struggling in defeat? The blood of Jesus Christ will give you victory. In Revelation 12:11, the Bible says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what else it does? It brings us near to God. It brings us near to God. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. get that, it brings us near to God. You see, the blood doesn't just forgive, and oh yes it does, but it purifies as well. It takes a drunkard and it makes him sober. It takes a hell-bound sinner and makes him heaven-bound. But hey, let me ask you something though here today. The blood has power. We see that. But how much blood, if it has so much power, why are you living in defeat? Why are you constantly living in defeat and you come to church on Sunday and you confess your sins and you might even come and kneel at the altar and before you even get out of here, you pick it back up. You pick up your sins and you go back out into the world and you're wondering, why am I living in defeat? Why are you living in defeat? There's power in the blood. Let me ask you another question. Why do we act like we're still in bondage? Have you been set free? Why are we acting like we're still in bondage? Why do we let every little thing defeat us? Every little dart that's thrown at us, we live in like we're in constant defeat. But let me just say, if the blood can save the vilest sinner, don't you think it can keep you in your daily walk with the Lord? Hey, don't you think that it can help you resist the temptations of the world and the temptations of the devil? Don't you think it can give you the victory? You've been redeemed. You've been purified. There's power in the blood. You've been set free. And the last thing I want you to see here, what the blood does, is I want you to see here the preservation. It preserves. It preserves. Look here in verse 23. In verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, the only way to enter in God's family is by a spiritual birth, through Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls it being born again in John chapter number 3. The new birth gives us a new nature. Our first birth, we are born fleshly. We're born of the flesh. We're born of the water. The flesh is corruptible, but being born again is incorruptible. It preserves. The blood preserves. It never dies. Believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, you've been born again. The moment you're born again, you are eternally preserved by the eternal, incorruptible Word of God applied to your heart and life and soul by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, our salvation is not dependent upon the weather. Our salvation is not dependent upon a preacher or a man or a church. Our salvation is a product of the living, eternal Word of God, and it's all by faith. Our faith is totally in God's Word, in what God says in His Word. And this salvation isn't a temporary salvation. It is an eternal salvation. It is an eternal salvation, already sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Jesus says it like this in John chapter 10, in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hey, listen to me. There is power in the blood. The blood purifies. The blood preserves. And back in our text in 1 Peter 1:18, the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But as we close here today, let me ask you, how many times have you taken the blood of Jesus Christ for granted? Do you take the blood of Jesus Christ for granted? How many times have you rejected the blood? How many times have you rejected the redemption price? The price for your soul has already been paid. Not with money, not with gold, not with silver, not with religion, but the blood that flowed through God's only Son. So the question here I leave with you today is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the shed blood of Christ? Hey, if you're here today and you say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, let me ask you, are you living for the Lord? Are you living for the Lord, or are you living in sin? Are you living in defeat? Hey, the blood washes all that away. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I just don't know if I die today, I'd go to heaven." Well, here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you come forward and tell me that, tell the person you're sitting with that same thing. We can take the Bible and we can show you how to be saved. We can show you how to know you're going to heaven when you die. Hebrews 10:29, the Bible says, "Who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing." Hey, don't trodden under the foot of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let it work in your life. Let it change you. Let it work that power in your life. That same blood that can save you here today can be that same blood that can condemn you tomorrow if you reject it here today. Let's bow our heads in prayer.